sight of the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Alrighty, get your gongs, get your hooters, get your callers, get your heavy metal, get your power chords, get your drummers.
Get your garage door open up.
Get your garage door open. You're back on the radio with Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, his wingman, XO Bordis. Oh, I'm sorry, Joe D.
Yeah, that guy.
I can sing. And we're here to do it again for another week, folks. What can I tell you? We're going to have a great show, Joe.
Yes.
We have...
Laura Adams. Laura Adams. We have a plethora possible. A possible plethora.
Yes. Laura Adams from InsuranceQuotes.com will be calling us to talk about road rage in the top five road rage states. And we're going to follow that up with an early informational call from SEMA, the Specialty Equipment Manufacturers Association show out in Vegas, where Kendra from Cruising with Kendra will call us later on. But... we got a few minutes to ourselves. We can cover old business if we like. I'm all over this break thing. You know, I had a job to do. It was one of the rare occasions, Joe, yesterday where I was stuck in the shop working on a car late, and I was out
cruising.
Yes.
What a flip flop that was, right?
That doesn't happen too often, but it did happen.
Yeah, see, every once in a while the tables turn, whatever you like to turn, the wheel, and
exactly.
The gears will grind and all kinds of stuff. And that was funny. I'm going down Francis Lewis, arm hanging out the window, and all of a sudden the phone rings. I'm like, Ray?
Yeah, right?
And like, how weird was that? But
yeah.
Yeah, I was actually done while it was still daylight, and you're out there. But
well, with me...
tell us why you were.
Yeah, with me, it was my third job. So I went from my second job yesterday to the third job to do some work on a Chevy Cruze. And the thing that... the big takeaway for me with this whole thing is information is key when you're working on a modern vehicle. And in this case, I was just going to do something that we've done, I don't know, 1,000, 300, 500 times, change rotors and brake pads on the front of a car. Piece of cake, do it in your sleep, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Till I asked you for information, because I wanted to find out. I wasn't sure what the bolt configuration was on the calipers.
Right.
And since I'm working out of my other toolbox, I just wanted to make sure, you know, do I have the hex or the Torx or the Allen socket that I need to get those off? Otherwise, I'll bring them from the main stash.
We had to dig you up a picture there. I actually found the R&R procedure in one of my information systems.
Which didn't tell me the size. It did show that it was... and it's a 10 millimeter, by the way. It's a little tiny 10 millimeter bolt head on those calipers.
Really?
Yeah. It's
I guess they don't want you doing chin-ups on a breaker bar with that thing, right?
But the bigger problem came when you discovered that through the information system that the caliper bracket bolts are recommended to be changed.
Right, because they're torqued to yield.
They're torqued to yield. So now it's like, okay... Now what? It's like a couple hours to game time. Where can I get these bolts? I can't order them. I'll never get them in time. Local places didn't have them. So my mantra was, okay, this is it. I'm going to take one bolt out. And if I deem that the threads are reusable, where they didn't stretch or deform,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to Loctite them and reuse them. And then I'll order the correct bolts and change them at a later date.
Right.
Which is what I did.
It's not like the car will never be up on lift again.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's what I did. But also what I did is I gravity bled the calipers while I had them off because to when you take off brake pads, the pistons are, especially if the pads are down.
They've come out quite a bit, yeah, an appreciable amount.
And there's a large amount of fluid behind that piston. So the procedure is you put a spreader tool in the caliper.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Chevy, the stuff you said, they recommend using a C-clamp when the caliper is on the car.
Right.
But, you know, the idea is to retract the piston back
obviously
slowly.
Nobody has any friends on the tool truck when they wrote that manual.
Exactly. And you open the bleeder valve. And now as you retract the piston, that old fluid splashes out.
Squirting out, yep.
Which I did. And then I let them gravity bleed for a bit because the fluid was dirty. Bottom line, at the end of the day, put everything together, pump the brake pedal a few times to refill those calipers.
Right.
And seat the pads, really. You're not refilling the calipers. You're seeing the pads because there is fluid there. And I had no brakes. And then I noticed the ABS computer was going nuts, the ABS solenoid.
The HCU probably was not happy with you.
Oh, my word. So we tried a few things. I was working with Mike, and he said, hey, I can get the scanner. We can do the proprietary bleed procedure through the scanner. What's that called again?
Automated bleed.
Automated bleed, yes.
Or function test.
I said, okay.
Sometimes.
Well, we tried that and still didn't have brakes, and that's when I called you. I called the big gun. I said, hold on, let me call Joe. I may interrupt him as he's under a dashboard somewhere, but this is the time where I need help. So I'm using a chip now.
Ray, when you call, we know that the poo-poo has hit the fan blades, and
well,
it's time to get out the hazmat suit.
So, that was
it. I was like, oh, boy.
So the end of the story
I almost
was,
had to pull over for that one.
Oh, boy, yeah. We were doing the procedure a little wrong because we didn't have a correct procedure in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So between that, what you had said, looking at a video online, we saw that what we had to do. We did it, and we got brakes. So everything is fine and well. I went out and did my drive cycle test for the brakes, which is a whole other story for another day.
Yeah,
but,
I know. Right.
Again, there's so many spider stories that go on here. You could go on for an hour on either one. But the bottom takeaway was information. And the other big thing for me last night was if I didn't have somebody else in the shop with me, because we did a manual bleed, I would have been because my power bleed tool was in my garage at home, and you can't manually bleed brakes alone. It just doesn't really work well. So
not unless you have like really long arms
or
you
legs,
you can kind of sit there and you can hold one arm out the car to run the wrench and the other one to push the brake pedal, but.
Then
you'd be a Marvel character.
I stretch. I actually told Mike at one point, I was in the car on the lift. He was under the car. I said, I wish there was a way where I could get out and just come around and top off the brake fluid while I'm on the lift. You know, I said,
right.
You need like an outrigger out here. We need like a runway.
Yeah.
But that wasn't
like really
either.
Good upper body strength to do pull-ups.
Oh, yeah. So
that's why I love drive on lifts for stuff like that.
Exactly. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, every shop that I worked at, I always tried to, like, scrounge the drive-on lift as being my lift.
Yeah.
Which, kind of stinks when you're trying to pull wheels and whatnot. But when it comes to just keeping the car in the air and having to walk around it or whatever.
Right.
You're way better off with the drive-on lift. Plus, you're looking for those suspension noises that make you crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You could do chin-ups on the sway bar, all kinds of cool stuff,
Yeah. Well, there's another thing that kind of surprised me. As I gravity bled and looked at the fluid, I said, this fluid is dark. And I said, geez, I could have swore that I pressure bled this car when I had it in the shop the last time.
Mm.
And Mike had said to me, yeah. He goes, I think you did. And then as we talked about it, he said, I realized what else I did. I said, I had the car and I did an oil change. I rotated the tires. And that's when I would pressure bleed because I have the wheels off already.
Sure.
Makes sense.
Mm.
So, and then Mike realized, he goes, well, wait a minute. I wasn't here when you did that. You were in the shop alone. I was like, right. So how do you know I bled the brakes? And he says to me,
you always bleed the brakes.
Yeah. I said, yes.
Except you neglected to say the fact that you went to Starbucks and got the mocha brake fluid.
Yeah, yeah.
This time, which is why it looked like that.
Right. So anyway, that was the... That was the thing.
That was fun, right? What usually used to take us, maybe half an hour? You know what I mean? To do a brake job?
Right.
You know what I mean? On a newer car, nothing is easy.
Oh, hell no. No.
Whether it's...
The actual procedure of changing the rotors and the pads, which is what I was doing.
That's straight up.
I could have done that in my sleep. But, it was the rest of it that went. Let's
wake up and answer the phone there.
Let's see what we got going on here. We'll say, hi, you're all the Motor Mouths.
I hear noises.
Yes, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, good morning, fellas, on this rainy day.
Cliff!
Hope all's well.
Hey, man.
What's happening, Cliff?
Hi, it's Cliff, not Bronk.
Yeah, I'm cutting the Bronk off a little bit early today.
All right.
I got a question for you. I'm thinking about putting a battery cutoff, you know, at the terminal in the Roadrunner.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I see a lot of them online. Is there any brands or any place you guys suggest that you think have like a high quality? What are they? I guess they're made out of brass.
I have one at home. It's got a green knob. It's the one everybody sells. I don't know what company it is. Mm. I know if you're looking I think even Eastwood sells it.
One of the original ones, but before the internet, when you used to just be able to get stuff out of Hemmings, were they the ones that originally kind of started selling them? Or
yeah,
right.
No, I mean that's pretty much a simple. It's a simple switch, you know what I mean? So you don't have to worry about any kind of technicalities there. Just want the thing to be a quality piece. You know, these days you got to watch, too, because half of them come from across the ocean.
So I was wondering if there was a brand that you or any of your listeners maybe...
Well, you know what it is these days?
Quality or...
Two weeks ago, they could have all been American-made or whatever from one company or another, and then all of a sudden now they come from wherever. So as far as that goes... let's see. You know,
I know I'm at the point where I disconnect my battery cable all the time. I'm at the point where I'm almost like, even with using a good open-end wrench, I'm at the point where I'm almost stripping that nut on that.
Yeah. No,
cable taking it on.
A switch would definitely make more sense. Yeah,
Cliff,
definitely.
Let me ask you this question, which I think was the elephant in the room when Joe and I looked at each other. Why do you need to do a disconnect? Do you have a parasitic drain that's taking your battery down?
No, I just, you know what? To be honest with you, I have that reproduction, the Mopar-style battery.
Right.
Which I don't recommend to your listeners. They just don't last that long. So I like to keep the car on a battery tender, but I don't want to constantly have, I don't know, I just be safe for not having... power going through the car when it's just sitting in the garage inside the house. You know, my garage is in my house. I just thought it almost as a safety issue.
There are people.
And then I thought, too, when I throw it on the battery tender, do you think there's anything like when you throw a car on a battery tender that if there's power to voltage rig or anything like that? Or do you think that's...
The battery tenders are calibrated to keep the... They're not like, say, a regular charger, which just keep charging until something...
A battery tender.
Now you get the hydrogen flying out of it, but now you don't really have that.
It's a float charger.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is the tender brings the battery up to, I think, 85% charge, and then lets it drop down by itself.
Right.
And when it senses, it's a voltage divider. When it senses that it's down to whatever percentage is calibrated,
it kicks back in.
Comes back on, but only at like a quarter of an amp, not even a half amp. It's a low... So you don't get any bubbling on the battery, like when you put the old Sears... shop charger
on it. Boil it up. Yeah.
Right, it doesn't do that. I have a battery on my bench out of my Fiat, and I put a battery tender on it. It's been there for 2 weeks, and I put I pull the caps off just to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I look in there, and I see, I'm like, yeah, not a bubble. It doesn't, it's such a mild charge that it is really very safe.
Yeah.
And Ray, on the goat, do you have a battery? Do you have a turn-off?
He drives it.
You know, you're right. Joe's right. When I did, in the beginning, I would plug the car in every time I brought it home. And I said, hey, you know what? I got a new Interstate in there. To hell with it. Maybe in the dead of the winter, I'll plug it back in. But now, as long as you take the car out every now and again, it's fine.
But what about a disconnect? Do you keep a disconnect on it? Like when you get a park, do you have to disconnect? Or
not a battery disconnect, no. Because, no, I do not.
All right.
I trust my wiring.
That's it.
You have good wiring.
Yeah.
I know.
That's it.
I rented
a garage once where the lady insisted that I disconnect the battery cable while I left the car in dead storage there. And I was like, why? It was an old Chevelle, and I was like, there's nothing in there operating right now. Not even the clock, really. Actually, the clock was. But some people have gotten that... I wouldn't quite call it an old wives' tale. You know what I mean? In other words,
at that point,
you've just kind of reduced the chances to infinitesimal from just really, really low.
Right.
So, what the heck. But, if you're going to start stripping it, you probably have nice original battery cables on a Roadrunner. So,
and
we don't want to exercise them suckers too much.
Do you guys remember the old, I don't know if they still, they used to have the old Thanksgiving weekend National Coliseum custom car show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I used to judge that show.
In the early 80s, I had a 57 Chevy. I had once or twice. I remember they actually also, they did make you disconnect your battery inside.
Yes.
Once again, you got inside.
Yeah. Again, because you had vehicles with fuel, you had vehicles that were driven in, and then you had batteries. You know, it's just a safety thing. But a good friend from the Long Island Mini Bike Owners Association, who we haven't had on the show in a while, I've been trying to get back, Gerhardt, he just told me that Cole Hirsch is the company that
makes
all the marine battery switches. They're very high quality and excellent, you know, excellent.
Oh, the Cole Hirsch?
Yes.
Like the Hirsch paints and stuff? No.
H-E-R-S... E.E. Cole Hersey.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to have you text that to me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, Cliff. We got to run because we got to get ready for Laura, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Sounds good. See you guys.
All right.
Good to talk to you.
So long. All right. It's always good to talk to Cliff. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, hopefully, with Laura Adams from the Insurance Institute, Insurance Quotes Institute. So, Joe, grab that steering wheel, buddy, because it's going to get kind of dicey around here.
WHPC reminds you that smoking causes immediate damage to your body, which can lead to cancer, heart disease, smoke, asthma, and respiratory diseases such as emphysema and chronic bronchitis.
If you've tried to quit before and it didn't work, try again.
If you or someone you know wants free help, visit cdc.gov/tips or call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
This message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, you're back with Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with Ray Guarino, Joe D, and on the phone, Laura Adams. Laura, how are you?
Hi, Laura.
Or did we lose you?
Did you hang up the phone again?
No, I thought I had her on here. We must have lost Laura. Okay, that didn't work.
I'll go out and I'll pull the string a little tighter.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Yeah.
So well, hopefully, yes, if Laura's
listening.
She'll
be back in a minute. Yeah, I'm sure.
Then call back. I'm just trying to see if I have contact information for her so I could maybe let her know, but I don't know. Oh, boy. I hate when that happens.
Star 69 doesn't work no more.
Yeah, I know. That worked last time I tried.
You know what? Yeah, you want. Let's give that a shot for a second. Mm. Laura, if you're listening, we pushed the wrong button. I guess I shouldn't have spilled that coffee on the board. Sorry, Ray. I'll go get the mop.
That's okay. We'll clean it up.
But in the meantime, she has some very interesting information about road rage.
Oh yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. It covers 5 states. It's a study that they did. I don't know who exactly did it, but hopefully, if Laura calls back, we'll be able to find out.
Yeah, even though I have a little bit of information here in front of me, I'm going to leave. We'll let Laura actually do the talking.
We'll leave it to the pro, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, yeah, she needs breaks, she'll come to us. But in the meantime, we'll let her give us that kind of stuff.
So, in the meantime, while we wait for Laura, hopefully to get back to us, because we were too ridiculous here, we kind of dropped the ball, we can follow up again with the brake bleed issue, because that's something that's... Or the information issue. I don't know which way you want to go, Joe, because either one is very important if people need to, you know, work on a later model vehicle. So how, you know, if people are brave enough to go out and work on a late model car,
right?
How would you suggest they find the correct information and be armed with it before they go out and actually take wrenches to the car?
Well, these days, you know, there's actually a running joke about YouTube certified technicians.
YouTube University.
Oh, wait, what's that?
Let's try this.
You're flashing.
We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey there, this is Laura Adams from Insurance Quotes.
Hi, Laura. I'm sorry you got disconnected earlier. That was our fault here in the studio.
Oh, no problem.
All right, so.
Good to hear from you.
Yes, it's great to hear from you. You always, you know, the Insurance Quotes Institute comes up with some great information and surveys. And this one, I assume we're going to talk about which states have the angriest drivers, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We love to get into the weeds with the data and find out what's really interesting. And I thought this was kind of a fun study. Really shows that drivers are frustrated, and they're taking it out on social media in a lot of unexpected places.
Really? Unexpected? You mean not just cars? You know, not just hanging out the window and throwing coffee cups and whatever?
Well, what I mean is in states, we found that Hawaii residents are actually posting hashtag road rage on Instagram the most.
Really?
And that surprised me because I think of Hawaii as being a very relaxing place.
Yeah, laid back, mahalo, yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, really, that was a surprise.
More interesting, though, is I think the reason it was cited for why. So please tell us what that is.
Yeah, well, we think that it has to do with a lot of unfamiliar tourists being on the road in Hawaii, right? You come in, you rent a car, and you're not really sure where you're going, but you want to drive around and see this beautiful state.
Right.
So it could be that these folks are really causing the local people a lot of frustration. And we know in Hawaii there aren't a lot of roads. In some cases, the main highways are pretty congested simply because there aren't a lot of alternative routes.
Right.
So, you know, less roadways, more tourists seems to be a bad combination for road rage.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah, somebody has to get to work, and meanwhile, they're behind somebody. Oh, look, Martha, look at the nice volcano. You know, it's like, cut it out.
Well, the hula skirts. I tell you what, Laura, you know, we are in New York, and we're not in the city. We're just outside of New York City, but we see it here, and as seasoned New Yorkers, it's very evident to us. I know I've said it, and I know my friends have said it. I'm sure Joe has. Where you say, hey, who's this guy in front of me, a tourist? Because you're driving like a tourist.
Right.
And I think that statement has a lot of validity where Hawaii is concerned.
Well, there's a lot of, yeah, that's true, because they probably got their nose in the GPS or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not always like big super highways and stuff. I was on Maui like back in the early 90s, and it wasn't like New York, you know what I mean, where you can hit a couple of main roads, you know, get off at an exit, and you know you're within, you have to go within like three blocks or whatever. I don't even think they have blocks.
Laura, what was the next highest state?
Yeah, so number two on our list of road rage hashtag, places where these are being submitted comes from from California, rather. So California was number two on the list.
Wow.
This did not surprise me, because we know that LA is one of the worst places for traffic in the United States. You've got a lot of people there having to commute. There is not quite as much public transportation there for people who are trying to get to work.
That's three people in a car, public transportation.
Yeah, you got a lot of people in cars, and they're very frustrated by just the huge amount of congestion and traffic in the LA area. So I'm sure that skewed the numbers here. Also, areas like, you know, the Bay Area has a lot of traffic as well. So I think California, just as a state in general, has some pretty big cities with some frustrated drivers on the road.
Right, right. So who follows up good old California?
Yeah, New York is in the number three
spot.
Yeah,
I think.
You know, and I have to interject here. I have to say that, you know, California, you look at L.A. and the density and the population density, but you look at the state and it's very, very big. Same thing with New York. If, you know, a lot of people haven't been here, we're down on Long Island, you know, the suburbs of the city where all the people are. But you go upstate and there's like nobody. You could drive around for days and hardly hit your brakes. So it's amazing how a small section of a state can carry that state in a survey like this.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely know that the Manhattan area and all the commuters in the city certainly are playing a big role here. I think that New York is not number one because there are a lot of public transportation options. You know, a lot of people are taking the train in and they don't have to get in a car to commute. So perhaps road rage isn't quite as, predominant in New York, even though a lot of people might think of New York as being some of the worst spots
the
in
top,
the nation for traffic. It's not when it comes
state.
To road rage. Mm.
I want to share something with you. In today's New York Daily News, Linda Stassi, who is a columnist, she put a piece in. It was like she wrote it for me for today. It's called City's Jam Session, and I'm just going to read the middle part of it because it's pretty much all about congestion. She writes, now we have more cars, more bike stations, fewer parking spaces, bike lanes instead of car lanes, and parking in the middle of the street. Get out on the left, you get hit by a bike. Get out on the right, you get hit by a car. And at the end, it's just, you know, it's a good reason reason to just keep your job and not commute and, you know, whatever. It was kind of timely that she wrote about that just in today's paper. But
yeah, there's a lot of frustration. I mean, yeah, New York is there's a lot of that going on. Just driving up, I go back and forth along Northern Boulevard every day, which is a real treat. You know what I mean? Especially in certain neighborhoods.
So near and dear to our heart, Laura, who comes in the number four spot?
Number four is New Jersey.
Oh yeah,
and yeah. So certainly a lot of folks are commuting, you know, into Manhattan from New Jersey to work, or they are, you know, in some of the larger cities in New Jersey trying to get where they're going. So that one didn't really surprise me either. And as you guys said, you experience it firsthand, and you know what kind of frustration people are experiencing on a daily basis.
Right. So who rounds out the anchor spot on this list?
Yeah, so in the fifth place is Nevada, which was a little surprising to me.
Seriously.
I think certainly big cities like Reno, you know, have their share of traffic and obviously have a lot of very frustrated drivers. So those are the most popular places in the country that we're seeing right now for the hashtag road rage on Instagram.
Now, I don't know if you know the nuts and bolts of the survey, but as you know, a survey is really based on the amount of samples they take. And this is interesting because this was real world data of people posting on Instagram. And I think it may be a generational thing because, like, we don't do that. I know my daughters do. You know, they'll post stuff at the drop of a hat. But so I think maybe the older contingent might not have been as represented. But, you know, I think it is legitimate data nonetheless because it does exist. So,
yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think it's not a perfectly scientific way to look at road rage, but the idea here was to find out what trends are happening. What are the states, the months, the days of the week, the times that people seem to be most frustrated? And we looked at the road rage post from 2013 up to 2016. So we got a lot of data here about what's happening with road rage. Right. And I found it really interesting that August is one of the most popular months for road rage. You'd think that people might be on vacation and a little bit more laid back, but there are a lot of people on the road in August, so that tends to be the month where we see the most road rage hashtags happening on Instagram.
What was the second most active month?
Yeah, so the summer as well.
Yeah,
so we see that folks are just typically on the road more. You know, they're taking those family road trips and going on vacation. And it is certainly causing some frustration. But even if you're not on a road trip, if it's just a regular commute for you, I think it's interesting that road rage does peak on Fridays every week. So Friday is the worst day. Sunday tends to be the lowest day, so we're seeing more posts on Fridays, and specifically on the way home from work. So right after 5 o'clock on Fridays, people are obviously very anxious to get home for the weekend and you know start the weekend, and they are posting a lot on Friday evenings. So while this is a trend that we're seeing, we want to make sure that people do remember it's not great to be driving and posting on social media at the same time.
Yeah.
You may end up contributing to road rage if you're on your phone and you cause an accident or end up getting a ticket, and then you're gonna hold up traffic even more.
Laura, your press release had mentioned that the Arlington Police Department in Texas had started an interesting program. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think it is a really great thing when we see different community police and enforcement divisions getting involved with road rage. And they've got a hotline where you can actually call in and report somebody who you see either that is looks like they've got road rage or maybe is the victim of a road rage incident. And they do claim that because of that hotline, they have seen a reduction in the number of road rage incidents and accidents. So, you know, this is great to see the police really understanding that this is kind of a phenomenon that's becoming more popular, and it can really cause a lot of problems, not only with car accidents, but people literally getting out of their cars and you know, getting into fights and altercations with people when they're sitting on the road in really heavy traffic. And this is not good for our car insurance rates. We know that when there are more accidents, more claims, more liability claims, those are some of the factors that cause your insurance rates to rise. We do see that folks who live in more urban areas are paying more on average than people who live in less populated, more rural areas. So, you know, if you're in an urban area, remember that you don't want to contribute to more accidents and claims going on, because all that does is cause rates to rise even further.
That's great advice. You know, I want to let people know that they can check out what you do at insurancequotes.com, and on Facebook it's Insurance QTS, and Twitter is Insurance QTS if they want to follow you on the feeds. And how could people find, if they're interested in that full study, how could they find that?
Yeah, come to insurancequotes.com, and it is featured on our homepage, and they can get a lot more information about this study and get some tips to prevent road rage as well.
That's great, because everybody, no matter where they are, could always use some of that.
Get a chauffeur.
Yeah, get a chauffeur. Yeah, who doesn't have anger management issues, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's it. Laura, thank you very much. That's an excellent review. I think it's a great topic, one that we're going to hear more about. And we've talked about that in the past in the show, because it is something we deal with here in the area of the country that we live in. And you guys always come up with some great information. It's fantastic. I thank you for sharing that with us, because it's something that the listeners need to hear about.
You're so welcome. It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, and we will be in touch again. We get we get messages from the people all the time, and we look forward to the next hot topic that we can break here on Motor Mouth Radio from Laura and the Insurance Quotes Institute.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Laura. Thanks. Bye bye. All right, that was Laura Adams from the Insurance Quotes
Institute. That was very interesting.
It was very good, yes. Something that we all need to know about and pay attention to. Joe, with that, here's something that we didn't get to last week when we did Rob's Free For All. It's a song that we both really like. So let's do that, and we're going to follow up probably from out west with Cruising with Kendra out of Vegas. So get your numerology together. This one has the numbers 404 in them.
Oh! I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Like, oh, I love that. Like,
what are you doing?
Oh, I'm just on Facebook. Like,
what are you liking?
I don't even know. I'm just mindlessly hitting like because, well, I just don't know.
At least like something that's worth actually liking.
Like what?
Like the new 90.3 WHPC page on Facebook.
Oh, I like that.
Search for 90.3 WHPC on Facebook and join the conversation happening right now on the voice of Nassau Community College.
Like?
Yes. Like 90.3 WHPC on Facebook.
I do like that.
As I was saying, like 90.3 WHPC on Facebook. From the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right. Those lead breaks are hard to get past, but you are back with Motor Mouth Radio, your host Ray Guarino, Joe D, and on the phone with us should be Kendra. Kendra, are you with us?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Kendra.
Excellent. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. What's going on in New York?
We're in just a nasty, rainy weather kind of day here, but you made it brighter by calling us from sunny Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's like 70 here, so I can't complain.
Yeah.
Oh, heck no. Yeah.
So you're out in Vegas for the SEMA show, correct?
That's right. Yep.
Is this your first time out there?
This is my first SEMA show and second time to Vegas.
Well, you got us beat. Cool. So how is Cruising with Kendra going to market and push the brand?
What's what are we going to see out of you?
What's
what he's trying to say.
What's the plan?
Yeah. Well, yesterday we started kind of cruising the show, and let me just tell you, it is like Disney for gearheads. I mean, I'm looking over here, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then you look over there, and it's like, oh, we got to talk to that person. And it's, I mean, SEMA is amazing. And it's people are still setting up because the show doesn't officially start until Tuesday. But, I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know what you're going to get. We're hoping to get some interviews with some of the celebrities that are here. Linda Vaughn, who is like a hero. I mean, one of the first ladies of motorsports.
Absolutely.
You know?
Sure.
And Billy Gibbons is here.
Oh,
I mean, it's just everybody's
Reverend Billy.
Here.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know later in the week, our good friend Lou Santiago and Louis Lee, they're going to be coming out. And
cool.
You've, of course, met them with us on cruising, on playing in traffic on Thursday nights.
Right.
Yeah.
And you'll see more of Lou than I've seen in the last month or so because we just haven't been able to connect. He's been doing shows and doing other things. And so you'll be our emissary.
I also got an update
That's
from
great.
Our Eye in the Sky that Dina Parisi might be out there, too.
Excellent. Very good.
Cool.
If you get a chance, now I don't know, Joe, do you know if Dina is going to be just attending or they're going to be at a booth?
I just got a little thing, little blurb here from our Eye in the Sky. Jim said that she's supposed to be out there too. That's all I got.
You know, Kendra, what I'll do is, Dina Parisi was a local Long Island racer. Her and her husband, Drew, fielded a dual pro mod team. Now they have one car that Dina drives. ParisiRacing.com if you want to check it out. I'll find out, because I've done this before with Dina, if she's going to be there like at a booth or whatever, I'll send you the information, and it'd be great if you could, you know, meet her. Two women in the motorsports world.
Yep.
Dina had met one of the guests we had in playing in traffic, and they really hit it off. It was just another way of connecting, you know, connecting people. Well, so
that's what we do. We bring
good,
people together.
Because I have my map.
I'll let you know if she may just be there like you as a spectator, and then, you know, you just have to bump into each other, but whatever. So
you're right.
So again,
we're
the plan. What's
here is media?
Have you been able to put together anything for your, you know, for your website, for your show with SEMA?
Not yet, just because we just landed yesterday.
Right.
So, but I mean, we're going to get a lot of great content because SEMA was nice enough to let us be media here. So I'm at my first SEMA show, and we have media credentials, and it's amazing. You know, they really,
cool?
Yeah, they believe in what we're doing because we want to bring in younger generations. I want to bring in more women to this this great hobby, this great field. You know,
yeah. That,
I don't know about you. Sorry,
that
I
would
keep
be,
cutting you off.
No, I'm sorry. I always do that. No, you're a great ambassador, a great representative. Bring them on in.
Yeah.
Kendra, what was your early influence? That, you know, people ask me this. Said like, how? What's Kendra doing? This girl, Kendra, what's she doing? And I said, well, she's got a great history in it. Tell our listeners how you did get involved with cars and what we call our hobby, but it's our hobby with you included in it. We're not, you know, we're not excluding you.
Yeah. So I love the International Harvester Scouts, and I always say that was kind of the thing that got me involved in cars and trucks. My grandfather used to be an engineer for International, and my dad grew up around the Scouts, kind of wrenching with my grandfather. They restored the old, you know, the old 4x4s together, and a lot of those are still in our garage. And my grandfather, when he passed away, they named me after him.
Uh-huh.
And those trucks are just kind of a living legacy of our family and how special automotive is to
us. That's great. That is great.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And I don't know if those shows get archived, but on the Plane and Traffic show when you were on, it's got to be about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We actually got to see your dad. He actually walked into frame and you wrangled him in and said, "Here, talk about something." And he did.
Yeah.
It was fantastic to meet him. Yeah, it was very nice.
Yeah.
So
he's the scout doc.
The scout doc.
The scout doc.
Well,
I like that.
You know, we all have friends, and we actually get associated with brands and certain cars ourselves. So I understand why he can be called the scout doc, because if he's really dedicated a large part of his life to those vehicles, he's the guy. You know, he's, you know, He the man.
You put some great stuff up on Facebook about scouts, you know what I mean? That's a lot of people, not that they forgot him, but that's not always a name that you hear at the forefront, you know, your Chevys, Fords, Mopars and others, but right. It's great that you keep the scout stuff out front.
Yeah. So Kendra, people ask, I don't want to blow any trade secrets, rather, but how big is the posse that you run with? How many people do you have surrounding you on a trip like this?
Mm-hmm. Well, on this trip, we have anywhere from 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, then we also have our fantastic staff that are scattered all over the country and working with us remotely. You know, we have great social media people. We have great outreach people. And what's really neat is everyone who works on the show is a team player and really sees the vision, which is to bring in more young people to kind of, you know, keep the hobby going. And demographics. That's really what we want to accomplish.
Yeah. Do you see, are you able to see any real-time trend changes in through the work that you do? Or is that not available yet?
I mean, I feel like I am because I get approached by, you know, women in the field a lot more and also women who are interested. They'll ask me, well, where can I go to learn how to change my oil? Or where can I sign up for this class or this class? And I feel like little bit by little bit we're pecking away at it, and I think that we will see results as we continue.
That's cool.
Takes time, yeah.
But who's cooler than you being out in Vegas at SEMA?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
My jealousy.
I don't want to lose that energy.
Yeah, it is so cool, and I will be sending you tons of pictures. Probably too many, but
that's okay.
You have my word.
We'll be watching Instagram and Facebook. Definitely.
I'm just curious, like, how many hours of sleep you're not going to get, you know?
None.
Yeah.
Minimal. Got you should see the schedule we're on. It's insane.
Oh, wow. That's great. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
When do you, how long does this go for? When do you have to, wrap that up and come back?
Mm-hmm. We are here until November 5th. And then we're gonna wrap it up with a big In-N-Out Burger. Like, I already have this planned out. We're going
All right.
to In-N-Out Burger. Okay.
Will that be on the 5th that you go to In-N-Out?
Yeah. Have you been to In-N-Out Burger?
I haven't because that's a West Coast thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe you need to call us from the In-N-Out Burger
and tell us
how the burgers and shakes are, and that'll be next Sunday.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Got it.
That'd be cool.
I'd love to, and I'll do a recap. I'll tell you all about the secret menu, because they have the secret menu over there at In-N-Out.
So
and,
I've heard, yes.
I'll tell you about the show.
Wait a minute. Everybody knows this going on but me. What? Tell me about this.
Well, it's a secret, so I don't know the whole thing.
But you recognize it.
No, so. I've heard about this from other people that
really?
They have some kind of secret.
What do you got to do? Flash your lights twice, knock, and like jump around? How do you access the secret menu? It's like Prohibition.
If I knew that, I would have been on the plane out there and gone. Because remember, I just was in Vegas, so I mean, you know, I did not know this until after I left.
What can you tell us about it, Kendra?
It's like a couple of different words that you say when you're ordering your burger, and they're not on the menu. I wish it was cool, like you flash your lights or beep or whatever, like what you said. But it's kind of like you just say, "I'll have it this way."
Okay. So what does that do? That gives you a burger prepared a different way. Is that what it is? It just gives you something that's not on the menu, I guess.
It's this really good sauce with like cheese and just, oh my gosh, it's amazing. And it, like, In-N-Out Burger's like got a cult following.
Yeah, it's so good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. We definitely want to know more about that. And we're going to hold you to a follow-up interview on that one because I want to know more. And now I'm hungry for a burger, Joe. I don't know about you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that makes sense. If we get out of here, we got to hit one of them places.
Yeah.
But,
all right,
sure.
Kendra.
I've been in New York.
Yeah. No, we don't have In-N-Out here. We used to go to a Cackle Fest every year at John Carecci's place out on 109. And it was an In-N-Out Burger funny car. It was a sponsored car that was
from
back in the 70s. And that's as close to In-N-Out as we've gotten here in New York.
Yeah. That's all right. We got pizza.
Yeah, we got pizza.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. But, yeah, we'll be expecting to see lots of videos and lots of pictures. I have my Instagram and my Facebook ready to go. We'll be watching you.
Excellent.
It's great.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Any other thoughts, Kendra, before we move on with other business or what? Anything? Just scream a little because you have so much energy. I think it's infectious.
Yeah. It's good to hear that.
Thanks. Well, just being here, there's so much going on. I don't know. I guess, anybody follow along as we do FEMA for the first time. We're going to be posting a ton of pictures on everything, on social media, on our website, and because we want everyone to feel like they are here. We're going to give them the behind-the-scenes access, and the guys at FEMA are fantastic, and it's a fantastic organization.
Right. And so let me ask you, are you looking out your hotel window now at the surrounding area while you make this call, just saying, oh, my God, look at those buildings?
No, you can't see it from the hotel window, unfortunately. But I have to tell you, it's really funny because everybody has cars in the show. So, like last night for dinner, everybody was trying to find walkable options.
I don't think there's such a thing in Vegas.
Right.
Unless it's in your hotel, you grab in a taxi.
Interesting.
Or you're driving. Yeah, that's what I noticed when I was there.
That's it. That's an interesting thing that no one really thought. I would never thought about. Yeah.
Yeah. No, because everything is centered into hotels.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to get out into the city itself, and that takes a while before you have anything remotely resembling walkable. That at least my observation there.
Interesting. All right, Kendra. Well, listen, we're going to be following you throughout the week, and then we're going to look forward to that follow up next week. And we hope you have the best time possible, and that you're actually able to talk next week.
Right.
Yeah. thanks, guys.
Hey, all right,
thank you. We'll be watching and sharing. I'm going to put stuff up on our stuff. I'll be sharing stuff. So just keep it out there. We'll get it out to the people there.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right, Kendra. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Kendra.
Bye.
Have
all
fun.
Right. All right. And that was Kendra from Cruising with Kendra. You can go to cruisingwithkendra.com, and you can check her on Twitter at cruisin. CRUSIN with K. And you can also get on the Motormouth Radio Twitter feed at Motormouth Radio.
Right.
Because that's where we're at. And until then, we are going to take our last break, Joe. And I think we're going to, because we need to do a little bit of, got to put that kilt on. We're going to do some high stepping.
Oh,
and we'll
boy.
Come back and kind of wrap this thing up.
You so really keep, want the kilt, huh?
Yeah, keep it where you got it on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. Check this out.
I'm Rob Leonard. Join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The free-for-all is a free-form mix of rock and roll. If you remember, rock radio used to mix it up, but now they just play Hotel California every 18 hours. It's not a law, but they're working on it. So join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Replays every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Come on, everybody. Let's sing along this group.
Join me, Kim Tracy, for the music of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band on Thunder Road, Sundays at 1 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and on the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all Long Island residents. This is an important message. Please stand by.
You looking to learn more about Long Island?
Do you need to be informed about the current issues Long Island is having?
Do you want to learn more about what Long Island has to offer?
Yeah, you do!
Listen to My Hometown, where our student and community volunteer hosts explore clubs, organizations, businesses, and issues affecting Long Islanders like you and me. Listen for weekly interviews that shed light on the Long Island towns that are making a difference.
Covering Long Island head to toe, every inch, every mile.
Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 4 or Sunday evenings at 10 on the voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC.
Hey, that's my job.
You snooze, you lose.
Whoa.
These guys are the kings of rock. There is none higher. That was cool.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Flashback.
Biden. We appreciate it very much. Oh, Joe, all right. We're back for our last segment again. We just had Miss Kendra Summer on from Cruising with Kendra. She's out of Vegas. As well as we'll
Boy, she sounds excited.
Oh, absolutely.
I could see why, because, I mean, I have not been to SEMA myself, but... It's like Disney. She said it perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A lot of energy there.
Mm.
But like I said, we'll follow up with her next week and we'll see how her energy level is then.
Well, yeah, let's see. Well, then again, we may not be able to fry her out, but we'll keep our eyes open and the social media up.
Let's see how the energy level is on the phone when we go back and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Professor Ray. Hello, Joey D. This is Howie. How you doing, guys?
It's the big man! What's up, Howie?
Thank you. Man, I'm sorry about a washout at Bald Hill with the Monster Mash. I was looking forward to that show. Usually, I tell you this, we're getting probably 600 to 800 cars for that event.
Really?
At Bald Hill. And sometimes even more. It's disappointing, but it's reality.
Well, I learned one thing in my life, Howie, and besides it not being healthy to fight with your wife, you can't fight with Mother Nature either.
Yeah, she's even a bigger...
You mean it's the same thing?
You're gonna
Mother
lose.
Mother Nature and the wife.
Yeah, they both occupy very high slots in the hierarchy there. Well, yeah,
But usually what I say is, you know, hey, when we're talking, I got to talk to the boss.
Right.
I happen to say that probably about a decade ago when I was working at Huntington. I mentioned it to my boss, Carlos. He wants me to work here. I said, I got to talk to the boss. He said, well, I'm the boss. I said, I'm talking about the real boss.
Yeah.
You mean Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah.
Right.
No.
You got it.
No, that you mean the wife.
Yes.
So, how are you getting? Are you going to be getting ready like we all are for the protracted off season of car events that's coming up?
Oh yes, I have a few plans to to work on the Mercedes, to work on the 300ZX, to work on the convertible. Probably next week, we're looking at reconditioning the convertible top.
Okay.
Doing some repair on it and cleaning it up a little bit.
You found duct tape in that color, huh?
Yeah.
When you speak to one of the premier car guys, John Kappelman, and he says you need a new top. Sometimes you can't listen to him because he's very meticulous and he never puts his top down.
Did you happen to get a price for replacement of that top?
Yes, I did.
And that's what led you to want to repair it, huh?
No, it's part of it. I don't mind replacing it. It wasn't that bad. It was $1,300 to replace it.
Sorry.
But Sal of Sal's Interiors, Sal said it's a hard job to do, and I'm being light about it. He said a few other words about that.
Well,
and he says, well, hey, I don't think you need a new top. He says maybe I can clean it up, recondition it, do it
okay.
with a patch on the inside, and he says you'll be good to go.
Well, I'll tell you this, not being a convertible top mechanic, I did do one convertible top, the one on my Fiat, did it with Honda John, and it's a small car, and it was a tough job. You had to actually pay a lot of attention and do things correctly, and at the end of the day, my job didn't come out as well as a professional would have done it, which I really didn't expect, but it's good enough for me. So, yeah.
It keeps you drive when you get caught in the rain.
It does. It does.
Right, right. Well, we're gonna try it. It wasn't that much. He was saying for you, Howie, it would be $50. So for $50, if we can recondition it and it looks better, maybe it'll be good for now.
It's worth the bet, right?
Later on, you got to also think about availability of parts that will get rarer and scarcer to get. So when John Capp said, when you can get the parts, it's a good idea to take care of it.
Right.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. As that car gets older, or any car gets older, those parts start becoming more and more one more rare, and then sometimes when it turns out that you need one, they become unobtainium.
True, and you know, convertibles that sit in the garage, of course, those tops stay in much better shape than the ones that are outside in the elements.
Right.
Because, like, even myself, I was thinking about another car, changing cars, and I'd love to have a retractable hard top is what I really want. So you could have the convertible at the push of a button, or you have a hard top.
Oh, yeah, that would be very cool.
Yeah. So,
Yes.
But that's because just a soft top is just, it's a problem because out in the rain and the snow.
It's a pain in the yachts, let's face it, yeah.
So if it's a car that's
you're lucky really to, depending upon if it's outside or in, you get an average probably about maybe 10 to 15 years out of a top.
All right. Now, is a top for your car readily available, Howie?
It is readily available. I looked at it, getting it from $300 to $400. And when I spoke to Sal, he said, no, he said, they may not, you know, it may not be the best. He says, I can get it for around the same price, and I know it works. So, you know, I would be patient and let Sal order the
probably made out of recycled gym socks for that price.
It follows
you don't know.
Many, many other parts in the restoration business. I know, for one thing, interior parts. I when I bought the kit for my Pontiac, I talked to the guy I know who does interiors, and he had specific thoughts about certain companies that supply the kits and other companies as well, and said, yeah, I prefer these guys over these guys. Why? Because the stuff fits. It's
cool. Experience, yeah.
It's a better tolerance.
Like anything else.
And usually you're going to find that stuff costs a little more because you get what you pay for.
Sure. Yeah, they got caught a corner
someplace. Sometimes, and most of the time, you get what you pay for. It's true when it's definitely dealing with the automobile market. You know, it's either, you know, it's money, time, labor. You may be able to get the part cheaper, but, you know, I'll be hearing curse words from Sal about the top.
Sure.
It's better to have an easier fit than it'll save you. As a matter of fact, you'll have more savings because it'll go on easier than getting a cheaper part that doesn't have that clean fit.
You won't necessarily hear him cursing. He'll make his thoughts known when you get the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's how he'll
cha-ching, cha-ching. Yeah.
Like, oh, it was a tough job,
true.
Huh?
Well,
what is this, the rent bill for the month?
What his recommendations are. Yeah. You know, you always want to listen to a professional. You have to have trust in the people that work on your automobile. And if you can't do it yourself, then you have to have some trust. And I trust Sal. It's just hard to get in touch with him at times.
Right.
But it is worth it because his quality of his work is excellent, A1. And his prices are reasonable. And I've been dealing with him with the Buick Regal Grand Sport as well as the Cadillac Eldorado. And nothing is really, when he installs it, it's a premier installation, and it's a professional installation, right. And it's not going to fall apart or later on that you have with some other people that put it in very quickly, you know.
Right. All right, Howie. Well, that's great. That's great recommendation for everybody. We're going to go in silicone or umbrellas. What's that, Joe?
Yeah, no. By the way,
your finger up. I don't know if you're ordering.
Check, please. All right, in this guy,
yeah,
Jim.
Have a good day. Don't get too wet, and happy motoring.
Okay,
Howie. See you guys soon.
Talk to you soon.
Right.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Now, I was going to say, our eye in the sky, Jim, says that Monster Mash has been rescheduled for next Sunday.
Okay.
I just want to let Howie know that, so in case he decides to...
He probably knows.
Yeah, he's got Howie
connected.
Radar, so...
He's pretty connected, yeah.
Yeah, he's like a made guy there, you know what I mean?
I used to go to the Monster Mash with my Impala when it was at Furrows Road, and what they had was two or three soccer fields long ways. There was like a berm at the end of the soccer field with a stand of trees, and you could walk through that, over the berm, through trees, into the next field.
Mm-hmm.
So I know at one field they had all the VWs and some of the foreign cars, and then they had all the American stuff in the other fields, and they had a long swap meet. That's where I got that Mallory dual point distributor for the Pontiac.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
That I haven't used. But that was always pretty cool because they had a nice, you know, a very good mix of cars, and that's when I was in the Impala Club and our cars were fairly new, and they almost didn't really want us at the show because we had new cars, But we talked to Bob Davern, who ran that show, and he agreed. He said, we'll judge our own cars.
Modern monsters.
And we'll give the trophies. And he says, yep, you guys are welcome. And we would bring 30, 40 cars to that show.
That's pretty cool. That helps the turnout a lot, right?
Right.
So, Ray, what do we got going on in the future?
Okay, every guest we have, and we have four of them, are up in the air. They're balls in the air dancing. They haven't dropped down to commit to me yet. So I have I don't even remember now who we were pitching.
So, in other words, it's the luck of the draw.
Well, we'll probably hear from Kendra next week and hear about her. If she can talk, if she can speak.
Right, right, right. She'll probably be, hollering and yelling and screaming and,
I'll touch base with her during the week.
Yeah, I'll see during the week how she's doing and if we can get her back on and get a,
Plus we'll find out what the secret In-N-Out burger words are.
Hopefully she'll give us that information. I don't know.
Yeah, that's only one of the pertinent information that we're hoping that we'll get out of her there.
And I'm sure we'll have more stories from the trenches between you and I.
I still want to talk about test lights and test equipment and stuff like that. And
for now, we're going to go. And listen to this. I took that Meldmouth Radio outro, and I took that little piece at the beginning off that was like the delay. So I hit the button now. We get this. We'll see you next week.